Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, hour number two here on Tiki and Tierney, company from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage here on just an incredibly sad day. We're stunned. We're shocked. You know, we're taking a lot of calls. 855-212-4227. I feel like I'll say this at the top of every hour because kind of almost started new, even though you don't always. It means whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I was honest. First of all, I don't even fake doing a show. I can't
That's
lie
right.
to you. There's no script for this.
No.
And there's no blueprint.
Well, it's just hard to like even think about what we were going to say. You know, usually I can give you an outline. This is what's important. This is what we're going to hit. We're going to do X, Y, Z at 3, 320, 340. We do this every day.
Yep.
440, whatever. We do the whole list, and we come up with inbounds and out of bounds and the blast, and these are topics that you need to know about. I couldn't think about what to even talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
I really couldn't, right? And that's why we're taking so many calls, because we kind of know that you have the same emotion that we do. If you love sport and you've followed it to any degree, you had this appreciation of Kobe, maybe even like an envy of his greatness, mm-hmm. or his ability to drive towards that greatness. Because that's what I kept getting. And I said this at the top of the show, BT. When you hear all of those who knew him, whether it was Magic or Dwayne Wade, or LeBron has not spoken yet. We haven't heard from LeBron, but any of those who talked, Doc Rivers, etc., it always led back to this drive towards being great. Right? I was listening to some of the stories from his Olympic days and how he would get up at like 5 a.m. and go work out. You know, everybody else was just chilling and sleeping. He'd get keys to the gym and go at 5 a.m. and getting his lift in and going for a run. And then, you know, a couple days later, you know, somebody else joins him at 5 a.m. to get the lift in, the work in. And before you know it, the whole team is there, you know, following Kobe's lead. And it's not like he was imploring them, like, you better get your asses up and come work out with me. It's, mm-hmm. it's like they see him.
Yeah.
Right? And that's kind of all of us. And because I didn't know Kobe. You didn't know Kobe.
Nope.
Most of our listeners or fans of basketball have never met Kobe Bryant. But there's the appreciation of his drive towards that greatness. And we want to know, like, how do you do that? How do you get there? Like, how do you make yourself be better than you are,
mm-hmm.
Especially on court, and electrify and move us emotionally? How do you do that? And so it's like an envy. Like, there's an envy towards trying to create what he created as a basketball player. And that's what's coming to fore, right? That's what's hitting all of us, is that is lost right now. It'll survive in over time. But right now it feels like it was stripped away from us, and that's emotionally damaging.
He still had a lot to do in the world. That's the thing, you know. And we just did Inbounds Out of Bounds a couple days ago. His comments about the WNBA, mm-hmm. and whether or not there's, in his opinion, there's a window open, whether it's now or a couple of years from now or a couple of decades from now, if he believes women can play in the NBA. And, you know, this is 3 days before he perished, so we're certainly not thinking it in those terms. We're thinking, you know, and looking at it now, and now, you know, probing deeper into his relationship with his daughter, you know, as I have, and we all have, you walk away saying, yeah, it almost doesn't matter if he truly meant that. Yes, this player and he mentioned a few names on, mm-hmm. I don't know, whatever WNBA team you want to mention, can make it as a point guard for the Phoenix Suns. That's not the point. The point is that, you know, don't allow any ceiling. Don't create any ceiling that you perceive to be over your head.
Yeah,
you have to smash through it. And it's that's what he was like talking to his daughter, while also being, I don't know, maybe I'm missing somebody, the strongest voice advocate for for female athletics, that's a male.
Yeah.
I mean, rise to that level that he was beginning to?
Yeah, well, he embraced the WNBA, obviously. We know this. It's part of his legacy as a player. And so, you know, I don't know. I don't know if anybody has thought about it that way or spoken about it that way, because it seems like an unattainable, to use your word, ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's no way that that's going to happen in most people's minds, but who's to say that it's not?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And our conversation around inbounds and out of bounds is that the question was basketball is the sport that will most likely have a female participant or something along that line.
Mm-hmm.
I said out of bounds to that question
because
I feel like it's probably more football, to be honest with you, because of kickers. Like we saw Carly Lloyd after the World Cup just doing the rounds and going to football practices and kicking field goals. Now, she had like a long run-up,
yeah,
but she kicked like a 55-yard field goal. I mean, that's hard to do.
I couldn't do it.
I agree. I couldn't either. Maybe I could get a 20-yard field goal.
It would be a line drive, too.
Exactly. It would barely clearly upright. But
like we've all done at the fan fests.
Exactly.
You just get it over the crossbar.
You Jack Dempsey it or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Dempsey
it straight on.
And hope that it goes through. But like females are great athletes. Like the physicality of females prevents them sometimes from competing with males. And that's mm-hmm. what we see.
Yeah.
But that might change. You know, and who knows?
Never know
when that happens. But it's never going to happen if women are told that they're never going to do it.
So right? He was speaking to his daughter by speaking to the world.
Yes,
and that is a pretty intuitive and pretty amazing line to straddle and know that you're doing it. And have the reasoning, even though he didn't verbalize the reasons, we can all deduce what he meant by that.
Yeah.
We really can. You know, the Jerry West stuff yesterday was incredibly poignant. I watched Jerry go for about, he was on the special with Robin Roberts mm-hmm. and Michael Strahan and Tom Rinaldi. It was very well done. It was on ABC, not just ESPN, it was on ABC. And Robin Roberts has battled cancer many times. She's a superstar. She is a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. Strahan's a star. Rinaldi, I know Tom a little bit. Great guy, great reporter, great storyteller, really good show. And I was really touched by watching Jerry West. You know, it was a good lengthy reminiscing as to what he saw in Kobe at that age. Because think, you know, you can measure the vertical. Mm-hmm. You can even look at somebody and say, all right, they're 6'6", 192, or actually far less at that point. But, you know, get him in the weight room, nutritionist, you know, when he maxes out when he's 27, he'll be 208. You can do all those projections. You can't tap into the mind.
Mm-mm.
But it's that seemingly what Jerry West did, because this man behind this was, you're born with that.
Yeah.
Like you don't midstream as an athlete say, all right, I'm going to now change my tune and have a drive that is incomparable and my sole focus is to be the best. You're born with that.
Yeah.
And you're born with
and
that.
And I kind of had forgotten that Kobe was drafted by Charlotte.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Vlade Divac, the trade.
And he traded for Vlade Divac, which, I mean, think about that now. 17-year-old kid. He's drafted 17. And you're going to trade him for, at the time, a star.
Vlade Divac could play.
A big, big man star.
Yep. Right. That's true.
For Kobe Bryant.
Great passer.
And he ends up playing a little bit, sat behind Nick Van Exel for a lot of his rookie season. But
only started one game his first 2 years.
Because he was 17.
Yeah.
I mean, you're playing with men all of a sudden, and you're 17 years old. But it wasn't too long after that he was making all-star games. And then he made 18 in a row. And mm-hmm. he never didn't. Make it. Won championships, a three-peat once Phil was there, and had to work with Kobe, I mean, not with Shaq, which wasn't always like nice and friendly.
Conflict there.
Like, it was a lot of conflict.
Real conflict. Same with Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
Real conflict.
Yeah, I know that like we were going to reach out to Jerry West, and Diesel and I were talking about this before the show, and like the sadness that you could see in Jerry West's eyes, right? He was crying, like so emotional, because he basically plucked this kid at 17 and brought him all the way across the country from Lower Merion, Philadelphia, Lower Merion High School in Philadelphia, to the West Coast. Imagine, I mean, Kobe was a little bit worldly because mm-hmm. his father, so he had seen a little bit of the world, but going to L.A., which is like Magic Johnson town, right? The Showtime Lakers from Philly it's a big jump.
It is. It could swallow you up quick.
It could swallow it, but it didn't.
No.
And he actually thrived and became this icon. And Jerry West was a part of it. So we didn't end up, D-Cell, did you end up sending the email?
I don't, to D-Cell, Jerry?
He didn't end up sending the email because it just felt, I don't know.
More like too invasive, just to give him some space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was so emotional last night.
He was. Like, it was tough for him to get through the sentences.
That's right. And then Tom Rinaldi had to basically like, all right, we got to stop this.
Yeah, he did.
Tell,
he
you
did.
Tell was gently. Getting a little bit overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how people who knew him are reacting.
Speaking of people who knew him, I heard, somebody who really knew him, Ice Cube's going to join us at 5 Eastern, and huge Lakers fan. You know Cube, you know, mm-hmm. He's a huge Lakers fan, but Kobe was his boy, so he's going to bring some pointing stuff to the table at 5 Eastern, so about 40 minutes from now, roughly. But I heard Del Harris, too. Del Harris was his first NBA coach, and I heard Del coming in, I guess it would have been Sirius XM NBA, Channel mm-hmm. 86, today. And I was going when I was driving out to St. John's. And he was talking about how he knew the air ball at Utah. He knew he could get the shot. There was 6 seconds to go. So he knew that he needed somebody that can, you know, get the inbounds, get a little separation, get a look. And he talked about and it was very interesting how Kobe would prod him, but not in a disrespectful way. Coach, I need more minutes. Coach, I got to start. Coach, I'm ready to roll. And he's like, you're not. You're 175. You're not ready. You're not ready. And Del Harris, he said, and it was an interesting way to look at it. Eddie Jones was on that team. Eddie mm-hmm. Jones was a two-time All-Star. Really good player at Temple. Good defensive player. He's like, I had to impress upon a young Kobe, like that young lion who's ready to roar through the jungle but isn't ready to dominate yet, but you know he's going mm-hmm. to. I had to impress upon him that you can't just beat whomever it is that you eventually take their spot. You have to knock them out. Because if I put you in there too early, then I lose the whole locker room if you bomb. And I know you won't bomb. But there's many levels to this process of inserting you into what eventually will become your team. It was a good spot from his. I think Del Harris gets lost in the equation because you think Phil Jackson for sure. But yeah. It was a good interview. It was worth going back if you want to give it a shot. Let's get Rod in Pennsylvania real quick. And Rod is on Tiki and Tierney. Rod, hey, how you doing, buddy? What's happening?
Hey, BT. Tiki. Hey, so, you know, I've been a fan. I wanted to start off by saying, you know, you guys prove it day in and day out. You know, you're the best show in the country with your class, your professionalism. And I've been a fan since 2014 when you were still with Dana. So just
thanks,
want to
man.
Start off with that and say that all prayers to the Bryant family. Mm-hmm. Yesterday I was watching golf and I got a call from my son who, you know, when they become older, they become friends versus our kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, obviously, Tiki, you're experiencing that with your boys being a little
right.
older. BT, you know, your kids are beautiful and just getting going, you know.
I want to keep them young as long as I can. I hear you. Keep going. Stay
well,
young,
it goes,
guys.
It goes fast. Even though we're the same age, guys, I had my kids young going into the service right out of high school. And yesterday it hit me hardest when I got a call at 2:45 in the afternoon Eastern time for my son because, you know, he grew up idolizing, you know, AI and of course Kobe, and I could hear the pain in his voice.
Yeah,
and he was already crying, and it wasn't even confirmed yet, and I could hear him crying over the phone. And as a dad, the last thing you want to hear is your kids having any kind of pain. So I just wanted to share that with you guys, and say that, you know, seeing Kobe post NBA, you know, you hit it on the head, Teak. You know, he looked happy.
Yeah,
and you could see that his daughter. The relationship was going from, you know, daughter to best buddies,
mm-hmm.
and it's a beautiful transition as our kids get older. So anyway, prayers to everybody in the sports world, Lakers family, Bryant family, and you guys, of course, for being the best show in the nation.
Thank you, Rod. Thank you, Rod. Appreciate you, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's right. You know, it's funny because my fifth oldest is five. So Brooklyn, or six, she just turned six, and we battle her, man. Because she's starting to find her way,
mm-hmm.
right? She's smart beyond her ages, beyond her age. She actually is better with older kids than she is with younger kids. And she loves being around adults, and she likes to talk back. And sometimes she's like, oh, I hate you. And it's like, Brooklyn, I'm your father. Right now, I'm not your friend.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm your father. And Tracy's your mother. We're not your friend right now. We're not telling this because it's right for you. We've been there before. But Rod's right. Like, when I look at my relationship with my 17-year-old and even my 15-year-old, it's like we're buddies, like we're friends. They write them for advice, and I tell them, you know, or they write me for advice, and I tell them things that just pop into my head. It's different. It's an evolution. And we were seeing it in real time with Kobe and his daughter, Gianna. Like, we were seeing it, which was, it was moving. It was it made us relate to him in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Prior, we related to him because, man, this guy chases greatness like nobody I've ever seen. How the heck do I do that? And then it became, man, this dude is like chasing fatherhood like nobody I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
How do I do that?
Hmm.
That's one of his greatest accomplishments, is that he made that transition for us, watching him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard to do. It's really hard to do.
Those images are incredible. You know, you talk about the full circle swing of relationship as as the guidance, as the moral compass, as the provider, as everything, as the mom and the dad when they're real little, you know, and then they get older, and then, you know, there's different phases, and we're still thankfully in the first phase, which I don't want to leave, but I'm enjoying phase one a lot as much as I humanly can. Trust me, and you know that. But I remember, you know, similar deal back in the day, you know, when I was in college. Where are you guys going? Which bar? Renaissance? You going to Birdies? Yeah, I'll be there in an hour. It's, I'm talking to my dad for a little bit. I'm talking about the Knicks. I want to, you know, we have a big game coming up on Sunday on NBC with against MJ and the Bulls, you know. I want to talk to my dad about Ewing. I want to talk about Pat Riley, about Don Mattingly's back. And I'd be on the phone with him for an hour. Yeah, I'll be out, man. I know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
I know the area. I know the campus. I'll meet you there. And there was never any urgency, never any rush to get off the phone. As a matter of fact, I didn't want the phone calls to end. So I can see that. While I don't have that yet, because my little guy just turned 5, and you know, and Kinsley's 3, with AJ and Chase and coming, you're going through it, and it's a beautiful thing. You know, I could see it being a little sad as they leave that first stage, but he never got out of a stage. But you could with Gigi, he never got. That final stage never came to fruition, but you could tell it was blossoming into something that was beautiful.
That's right.
Just beautiful. 855-212-4227. Here's a question. You know, I don't even know if I've thrown a question out to anybody yet because we've just been talking about Kobe, reminiscing, whatever. Do you think the NBA should retire both numbers? Just, I know the Mavericks have already done that, and there's been, yes, I thought they were great honoring the 24-second shot clock. The Garden was phenomenal with the purple and gold lit up, and the paying homage to Kobe. Should the league retire both 8 and 24? We can get into that coming up a little bit. 1-855-212-4227 on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. So we'll dive into that coming up. Ice Cube joins us at 5 Eastern to talk about his good friend Kobe Bryant here on CBS Sports Radio. Good stuff right there. Tough stuff, but certainly poignant stuff. Mike Breen, the call. Kobe gets another championship. That was a big one. He needed to get that without Shaq for basketball reasons. And, of course, Jerry West, we mentioned that, the special last night with Trey Hannon and Robin Roberts and Tom Rinaldi. Just incredible stuff with Jerry West. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote. Go to geico.com. So, we're going to get more calls here. Just let everybody know, tomorrow, you know, we'll begin the order of getting back to business. And I'm flying out to Miami tomorrow night after the show. Teak is going to be out there Wednesday. We'll be doing a bunch of shows out there from the middle of the week forward up until and through Friday. And we've got Cam Newton's going to stop by. Ron Rivera's going to stop by. I know we have Justin Herbert from Oregon, the Griffin brothers, Cam Hayward, Arthur Blank. So, owner of the Falcons. So before you know it, we'll get back to the other stuff. Today's all about Kobe.
Yeah.
And the other victims.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Did you see the Grammys at all last night?
I saw Alicia Keys. Yeah, I really wasn't into it. I had to see the Open.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the mood to sit through that. I was just, I didn't want to watch music last night.
Yeah.
But well, I did watch the Open.
I only flipped over because I saw on social media the Alicia Keys tribute to Kobe, because obviously the Grammys was in Los Angeles. It was in the Staples Center. Yeah. She addressed the house that Kobe built. And there was a performance by DJ Khaled and John Legend. Kurt Franklin was on it as well. It was initiated by Meek Mill. And I forget the name of the song. It ended up winning a Grammy. But it was a tribute to Nipsey Hussle.
Mm-hmm.
It was just an interesting tune, right? Because it's, you know, Nipsey was a lyrical rapper, right? It wasn't like traditional rap. It was mm-hmm. like spoken word rap in a sense, and that's what Meek is as well. And so I was listening to it, and it was hard to get into it first, and then you started moving you when John Legend, who's got an unbelievable voice, started belting, and then Kirk Franklin comes out, who's a gospel obviously icon, and at the end of it is they put images behind of Nipsey, but then they throw up the image of Kobe.
Oh, I'm gonna have to check this out. I did not see it. It sounds pretty good.
They did a great job. Yeah, Higher is the name of it. Thank you, D-Cell. Higher is the name of it. It was so well done.
Mm.
And obviously had to be done with some immediacy.
Yeah.
Because they didn't find out until yesterday morning that this happened. But I'm glad I flipped over and saw it, right? Because you forget how music is such like an integral part of athletes' lives,
mm-hmm.
and like the entertainment world and the athletic world, they're so intertwined, right? And they did a really good job at the Grammys, paying tribute to Kobe, just like the sports world did as well.
It sounds. I'm gonna have to see. I'm gonna pop it up on YouTube after I throw over to Axe Update in a minute. You know, I mentioned the Dale Harris interview that I heard today on SiriusXM NBA,
mm-hmm.
and one thing that he said, which was amazing. I meant to say this before, I just forgot. He said that, you know, before the Lakers had the practice facility right there, it was like a little disjointed. So logistically, it was not a piece of cake getting around town, as you could imagine. And Kobe would sometimes go. This is young Kobe, obviously young when Dell was the coach first couple of years. He would go to whether it was the local Y or there was a St. Bernard's that he mentioned. There was a Catholic school that was right there. And Kobe would go and somehow found the key to everywhere if they weren't open. Mm-hmm. And he would just be there with the big, big headphones, Dale said, before the little buds, obviously. You know, just bopping away to his music, just immersing himself in his own world and just doing all the drills that and all the moves, like the pump fake, the footwork that MJ had. And did you see, I don't know how they did this. I don't think you saw this, actually, because did you see the, it's about a two-minute montage where they have moves of Jordan.
No, I missed this.
And then as Jordan is like falling, like the little, like, and then he like falls back, it just blends into, like, I can't describe the technical word, blends into MJ right to Kobe. Tiki, every single manner. We all know he emulated him. The mannerisms, it looks like you're watching two Kobes or two MJs.
Wow.
It's incredible. And there's no, like, as MJ begins to rise up for the shot and then it seamlessly transitions to Kobe, there's not a moment where it's jagged. It's so fluid and so continuous. It's amazing. And you don't get that unless you are like you're a great ballerina, mm-hmm. or some sort of like real specialty.
Yeah.
If you don't get in the lab, there's no way that's happening.
Yeah.
Like that. It's incredible.
It reminds me of Drew Brees. Like Drew Brees' shadow or puppeteering of all his drops and his throws and uh-huh. his reads. He does that before every game. He's just out there on the field, just going through every single play in the playbook, like what happens, like the play fake. And he's no ball. He doesn't have a ball in his hand. He's just miming it. But that's why he's great. And it's like you forget the little things. Like we not even forget, because I don't even think we know them. We just don't do them. The mm-hmm. little things that make you great. And those are lessons from sport. That's why sport is such a powerful metaphor in our life. Right? Mm-hmm. There's an immediacy to it, but there's also lessons in how you become the top, the best.
I feel like he was a reminder, especially when he ruptured the Achilles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know how, and again, I had the same injury, but I'm the complete opposite of Kobe. He's a world-class athlete. I'm nowhere near it. But I try to put myself in his mind when I ruptured my Achilles playing pickup, how I was writhing on the floor and how the ambulance came and actually helped me out a little bit before I went to the hospital. He went to the free throw line and hit two free throws.
Yeah.
That's not common. That's not normal. That's not, that's not human, mm-hmm. really. It's a blocking out something at a totally different level that I, maybe you can relate to it as a former player, but I know I can't. So as much as I would like to, I just can't. We're going to get Axe Update right here. We're going to answer the question. Mark Cuban with a very interesting first step. He's going to retire Kobe's number 24. Should Adam Silver and the rest of the NBA, should that just happen, whether it's tomorrow or in a couple of days, should that be universally embraced and implemented by the NBA? We'll have that discussion, more calls as well. 855-212-4227. Very, very, just a brutal day. That was DeMar DeRozan, who's from Compton, by the way, and you know that Kobe was his guy. Great words there. Teke and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Teke, let's push this forward a little bit here. And, you know, Mark Cuban's already taken the steps. He's declared no Maverick will ever wear the number 24. You think the NBA should follow suit?
I think they should consider it. There's certain players who impact the league in ways that are different. Right? I think every guy that's in the NBA right now grew up, like, idolizing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If it was like Magic and or Bird or whoever you were as a kid, there was somebody that you looked at and said, man, I want to be that guy, right? Maybe not Larry that much, but who knows, right? Maybe the shooters of the world. Seriously.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
I think there are a ton of NBA players right now, maybe 80% of the league, who if they didn't want to be Kobe, they were in awe of Kobe
mm-hmm.
when they were growing up. And because he did it for 20 years, and he was a peer to some of them because he played for 20 seasons, right? So some of these guys were 5 years old, 6 years old, maybe eight, just learning how to dribble a basketball, and they see Kobe doing what Kobe does, and here they are like 10, 12 years later, they're in a league and Kobe's dunking on them. You know what I mean? And so it had to be this surreal, like, experience for this kid, whoever it may be, who had a dream to make it to the NBA, idolized Kobe Bryant, gets to the NBA, and he's either playing with or against Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's just, like, it's an odd crossover. It doesn't happen all the time.
I've got one. I think there's only one that I can really truly think of. It's Tiger Woods. And Tiger's impact on the PGA Tour.
That's true.
You know, whether it's Rory, who mm-hmm. has been, you know, who's waxed very poetic about that that motivation, or Jordan Spieth, who's talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and speaking of Tiger, I mean, the way Tiger Woods found out yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, and the way CBS started the golf coverage, which, of course, you knew they would do the right thing. Jim Nance was visibly shaken. Everybody was. But Tiger's caddy, LaCava, knew, and he didn't tell Tiger, which is smart, mm-hmm. You know, and then as soon as there was, and these are the things you almost wish that cameras didn't capture. Like, I don't need to see, yes, it's poignant. Yes, mm-hmm. it's revealing. Yes, it's a little, it's certainly unnerving, and all the emotional, all the emotions, but I don't need to see Tiger Woods' first response when he first learns that his buddy was killed in a helicopter accident. I don't, and that's not against CBS, that's just against how we all do this.
Yeah, like we want to consume and see and
you know?
Experience it all in real time. And
yeah,
it's you know, Tiger was saying after I forget who the female reporter he was talking to was. I forget her name, but he said he heard everyone saying do this for Mamba.
Yep,
right, and he didn't understand it at the time, but he held it together. You know, and
he did. He did.
Give him a lot of credit. I think Tiger has built up a facade sometimes
mm-hmm.
that's important for moments like that. But you know that it touched them for sure.
I think in a lot of ways too that, you know, Kobe and maybe this is just what is required to be so uniquely
great,
better
yeah.
than almost everybody
mm-hmm.
is to have a detachment from maybe whether it's Tigers, the rest. Now he's yeah. buddies with, but when he was coming up, he wasn't out there making friends.
A lot of people say that about
Kobe. Was the same way.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody says that about Kobe.
Oh yeah,
like he wasn't trying to make friends.
No, he was very aloof. He mm-hmm. was socially awkward when he was younger. Listen, you spent 7 years in Italy, and you know, all of a sudden you're dumped into an NBA locker room. And you're that age? I mean, that's a tough transition.
Yeah. Do you think the NBA will retire?
Here's the only issue.
Jerseys?
Here's the only, and it's part of the story. And we have not made this a prominent part of the show because that's mm-hmm. the last thing we want to do. But, you know, the Eagle Colorado incident is there.
Yeah.
And there's a civil suit where he did pay money
mm-hmm.
To the victim. Do you need to say the alleged victim if there's a settlement at that point?
I don't think so.
Okay. To the victim. I want to make sure I phrase it properly.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Because he even acknowledged it.
Yeah, well, that's right. In the letter, that's true.
Later on in life, he acknowledged
it. That's true. So it is. And yeah,
I think the exact wording was she had a different experience than I did.
Yeah, what he thought was consensual.
Consensual.
Yeah. You know, that, do you want to have that hanging from the rafters for your sport. And you've got to get out of the purview of today mm-hmm. and the immediacy of tomorrow and the grieving process and kick this down the road if you're going to do something of that magnitude. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it, but it's something you have to really consider as an entity
yeah.
and say, okay, how will this be perceived? How will this be processed by a new generation of fans, female fans, every fan, but female fans specifically.
That's a good point.
In 5, 10, but more directly 20 years down the road.
It's unlikely.
It probably is.
But I think, did Mark Cuban give a reason? Why?
Because I didn't see his reason.
I didn't see a reason. I didn't see a story behind it. DCL, see if you can look up if there was a reason. But I remember it popped across the bottom of whatever show I was watching.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it might have been on social media, I think. I think it was more on social media. I saw it pop up, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, what's the tie? And I couldn't think of the tie, right? What was it that Mark Cuban, other than being...
Was it business? Did they have some sort of business connection? Business connection?
And maybe it was.
Did Kobe ever do anything on the Shark Tank? I know A-Rod has. I don't think Kobe was ever connected there, but it wouldn't surprise me if they had some sort of business endeavor.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me at all. By the way, do you know why he wore number 8?
No.
Everybody talks about the transition to 24. It's a pretty cool story. When he was at the Adidas camp, he was number 134. And the number that he really wanted was 24, which is why he eventually switched to it. But I believe it was George McLeod who had that number when he first got there. And he just added up the numbers when he was, you go to basketball camp, we've all been there, you get a little number, whatever. You're not Kobe Bryant yet, although you're incredibly well-known and talented. You're still a number at that point amongst other great, talented, ascending young players. His number was 134, added up, and then the reason for the change, I'm sure part of it was just to kind of turn the page on, you know, the darkness of his life as well, but it was an acknowledgement, it's time to grow up. This is the second phase, but the second phase of his life. But number 8 was derived from what he wore at the Adidas camp, which is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Where he must have just bust people up there, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, think about what he did in the NBA. What is he doing at the ABC, the Nike camps or the Adidas camps? How do you stop him? Jason's in Baltimore, and Jason is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Jason, how you doing today?
Hey, guys. I think that the earlier caller, Rod, said a lot of things that I wanted to say about you two guys personally. I've called the show about a half a dozen times, and I think you guys are great, and I appreciate everything that you do while I'm sitting in 95 traffic every day trying to get home to my daughter. And yesterday, when I heard the news, we were going to a finishing session that my daughter's club soccer team was having that she was participating in. And the session started at 3:15. And we're in the car. And my wife is not liking the music that I have on the satellite. My daughter's saying, Dad, turn that down. I don't like it. Please put my stuff on. And I see my wife. I see out of the corner of my eye that her mouth like completely almost drops through her stomach. And I'm like, what's going on? What happened? She goes, you're not going to believe this. And when she told me, I was completely blown away. I was like, look, check another news source. That's got to be something that's wrong. It's got to be a misprint. It's got to be
a hoax.
It's got to be a similar happening, unfortunately. And obviously, it wasn't. And we discussed it briefly, and we got to the venue where the camp was. And my daughter, she's 14, and at 14. You know, she wants very little to do with myself or my wife at this point. It's all about the Instagram and the other girls
and her friends,
the team and all that stuff socially. Right, exactly. So she gets out, and I got out of the car, and I went over to her, and I hugged her, and I kissed her head, and I told her that I loved her, and I told her to work hard. And then when I got back in the car, my wife says, what was that? And I said, that was the fact that you never know.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make sure that she knew how I felt about her, and that I wanted her to work as hard as she possibly could to get what she wanted to do accomplished. And my wife and I sat in the car, and we talked a lot about the situation and about how we need to become better at showing our emotions and being more there for her in a capacity of telling her we love her every single time we get her.
Yeah.
Maybe instead of watching that rerun of whatever your favorite show is, go get a board game and let's play a board game. Let's spend as much family time together as we possibly can and show each other because I drive 30 miles each way to work every day and I'm on 95 and there might be 50,000 other people that are trying to do the same thing. And when I say you never know, you never know.
Yeah,
you
you're right.
Did Jason, real quick, Jason, did you talk to your daughter about this?
We did once she got in. Of course, the other girls on the team were talking about it. And at that point, you know, it was alleged that maybe like Rick Fox was on was on the helicopter, or even we had heard that maybe on the rest of his family was also on the helicopter. So once things started to kind of come in and trickle in of information, we talked to her about the situation. And ironically, in March, her soccer team, we're going to Vegas for them to play in a soccer tournament. And it's the first time she's ever been on an airplane. And she's a little scared as it is. And you know, I try to reaffirm her about, you know, the things that happen and how safe everything is. But we talked to her about what kind of man he was and the, his work ethic and what he's done post his basketball career, as far as his business successes, his documentary, how he's become this family man, and how he is a role model to a lot of people, and that he's going to be sorely missed. And unfortunately, not enough people are talking about the other seven people that are on this helicopter.
Yep.
And there are a lot of people out there grieving for them as well. So my heart goes out to the Bryant family, Vanessa and the rest of the children, and also the other seven family members, their families, and everything that they're trying to deal with and cope with today. So
it's a great call,
Jason.
Thank you
guys for taking my call, and keep doing what you're doing, and I'll keep chiming in when I have something poignant to say.
Appreciate
it,
Jason.
When you do, you'll add to the show, because that was a good call right there. That's for sure. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, we do have all the – I think at this point we do have all the names of the other passengers on board, except for the pilot. We don't know who the
I saw the pilot's name. But it wasn't confirmed, so I'm not even going to say it.
Yeah, but we'll get that on the other side of this break.
Got Ice Cube, too.
Yeah, Ice Cube's coming as well. But in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about the coach at Orange
Community
College.
Yeah. You know, he managed, he coached Aaron Judge in the Cape Cod League, too.
Really?
Yeah. Cape Cod is the most prestigious minor summer league for college kids. And
his daughter,
who was
one of Gigi's teammates, another mother and daughter who were also teammates of Gigi's, obviously Kobe and Gigi as well. But
The Chesters,
exactly.
Little Peyton was 13, and her mom was
Sarah
on there as well. Yeah, and we said that to start the show, and that's something we're going to make sure we definitely do. Tell a little story as much as we can about the others. Of course, Kobe is the front page and the back page and everything in between, but there were you know, seven other people aside from Coco, from Gigi and Kobe. So we'll do that, but we'll talk with Ice Cube coming up next right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.